Well, hello everybody out there in music video land, and welcome to another exciting episode of This Week in Music Videos, the Music Video Land podcast brought to you by your super good friends at IMVDB, which stands for the Internet Music Video Database. You can find it at imvdb.com. This is a podcast where we talk about music videos, music video news. My name is Adam of the IMVDB, and with me as usual, from somewhere in Manhattan, Doug records this from a different telephone booth every week, and who knows where he is this week, but he's somewhere around the island of Manhattan is Mr. Doug Klinger. Doug, how are you?
Doing super good, Adam. I'm way up to be stressed. Is it called the telephone booth if it's just, like, if it's out in the world? Like, there's no door or anything.
Those are the new I don't think in the current world that they could let loose one of the old style, like, get in a tiny room in public telephone
booths. I do think there's one or two left in Manhattan.
Really?
Maybe just one, or in New York City, maybe not just Manhattan. I think I heard that. I don't know where it is or something, but I do think there's one with a door still, so Superman can change. God, why did I make that joke? I regret it already.
Oh, we're a door. I'll definitely cut that out.
Keep it. It's fine.
Speaking of cutting it out, is north of the wall. I don't even know what that means. I'm sorry, Adam. From north of the wall of Fridge Music Fix, Mr. Cut It Out himself, Mr. Adam Alexander. How are you?
I'm good, Adam. I hope you don't cut me out, though. I hope we keep in at least the few things I say tonight.
No, that's a Joey Gladstone reference, you know, like from Full House.
Full House
is coming to Netflix. If they don't make a cut it out joke at least once on Fuller House, I am canceling my Netflix subscription. So
they will, Doug.
It's a guarantee.
Actually, Adam, I think you're the only person I actually haven't cut out of this podcast. Occasionally, I'll go back and cut out large swaths of what I say.
But anything Adam says, it stays.
It's gold.
Right. It's the rule. Unless, it's in his contract.
That's right. Google.contract. So we have a lot of, let's stop joshing around because we got a lot of good stuff to talk about. And I think we should start with, well, first of all, we're going to run the gamut today from really interesting music videos, a lot of interesting music videos from a technical standpoint. We have one that was done live, which is really interesting. Another one that had a crazy amount of just technical kind of planning and meticulousness behind it. What I think we should start with, though, is the event that happened this past, not weekend, but on Monday, is the Grammys, the 50th.
Oh, shit. It's technically the weekend because it was a long weekend here in the States.
Isn't the Grammys usually on a Sunday? I was kind of expecting it to be on the Sunday, then I realized it was Monday. Or maybe it always happens on a Monday.
I missed it because of that, because it did seem weird.
Yeah, because I worked.
Wait, they don't celebrate President's Day in Sudbury, Ontario?
They have Family Day, right?
We do have Family Day.
Yeah, I thought somebody was dicking around with me until I looked it up and realized it's actually a thing.
What does Family Day celebrate?
The divorce? It celebrates families of all kinds, even divorced families. Even
that's actually just lovely.
Yeah, it's a beautiful day.
Is it a government bank holiday or?
Yeah, it is.
You had off school. You didn't go to school.
I didn't go to school. I actually did go to work. We don't get Family Day. We get another civic holiday instead in place of it. But most people, 80% of the people were off that day.
President's in the States, President's Day is kind of the same thing. You like either get that or Columbus Day or something stupid.
Yeah, it was either MLK or President's Day. We could take whichever we wanted.
Crazy. But,
no, Family Day is recent, right? Because I don't remember that from when I was a kid.
Yeah, it was Bob Ray that started, started Family Day. I would say, I don't know, 8 years, maybe, fairly new.
8 years deep into Family Day, that's tight.
Wow.
That's,
yeah.
New holidays. Can you believe new holidays
that
are still coming?
That is crazy, yeah. I can't even, because every single holiday in the U.S., like the most recent one was Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and that was in the late 80s. So way, you know, before I arrived in America.
Unless you're talking about Twitter trending topic holidays, just like holidays that aren't really holidays, but suddenly you're like, what is this trending topic about? Oh, it's, you know, it's national, like, blow out half the candles on a cake day or something like that.
I believe today is National Wine Drinking Day, I think.
Oh, shit.
I think that's for real. But, you know, speaking of trending topics, the Grammys tore it up. this year in terms of trending topics. And we should talk about the one award that is given out every year for the Grammys that is music video related. And I was pretty proud of the Grammys because they've kind of mixed it up in years past because they're very much like the Oscars where they have, you know, the big categories like the Oscars have, you know, video, of, you know, film of the year and director of the year and all that stuff. Best actress and actor and actress.
I think they the Oscars call it best picture.
Oh, best picture, yeah, not best movie.
Film of the year.
But for, you know, for the Grammys, they have like album of the year and record of the year and all that stuff. But then they have, just like the Oscars, like a lot of technical categories. And they've done like experiments with the pre-show. They never used to televise it. Now it's broadcast on the internet. A few years ago, they had Cyndi Lauper host it. And this time they just went for more like straightforward kind of deal. And that
did you see the clips of Bow Wow from the pre-show? There's a clip of Bow Wow like right before the Grammys are about to start, and there's like a timer in the corner, like the Grammys are going to start in a minute and 30 seconds, and his timing in his head is just way off, and he keeps like going, like he keeps going, like, and here it can, all right, see you later, like as he's throwing it up, and he's still got like a minute left, and he's just like. Four or five times he tries to throw it and then realizes he's early and tries to recover. And the thing is, you know specifically as the audience member that he's fucking up because the timer's there. You're like, Bow Wow, what are you doing? You got a minute left. And it's really good. If you guys haven't seen it, we'll definitely link to it in the show notes because very funny.
I've written it down because I have not seen that and I'm very much just interested in seeing it.
It's so good. There's like a band that walks by. It's so funny. He's trying to talk to audience members. They're like, get away from me. Yeah, it's good. It's good. Check it out.
So the 58th Grammys, they basically have one award that's related to music videos, and that is Best Music Video. We had LSD by A$AP Rocky, directed by Dexter Navy. Mm-hmm. I Feel Love, Every Million Miles by The Dead Weather, directed by Ian and Cooper. Shout out to Ian Cooper. Oh, IMC is I like to call them. And they have
Cooper wore a... last year, David Wilson broke the male dress code by wearing purple suit or plum suit and high heels. Mm-hmm. And this year, Ian and Cooper wore a cat T-shirt and a blazer.
Nice.
So following the line of music video directors breaking the dress code.
I think that should be a tradition every year. One person draws it, or maybe draws a long straw or the short straw, depending on
how you. Oh, and Colin Tilly also wore like an electric blue suit. Nice. Why do I know what everyone wore to the
Grammys? Yeah, where did you see?
You're a stylish guy.
Everyone posts the pictures of themselves on Facebook.
Yeah. So we also had All Right by Kendrick Lamar, directed by the aforementioned Colin Tilly of the electric blue suit. then we had Bad Blood. It's listed on our site as Remix. I guess it's just...
Because Kendrick
Lamar's in it, yeah. By Taylor Swift featuring Kendrick Lamar, directed by Joseph Kahn. And then Freedom by Pharrell, directed by Paul Hunter. And the winner was Bad Blood by Taylor Swift. Wait, what'd you say, Adam?
Kanye was the winner.
That's right. Well,
Kanye's always the big winner. But no, yeah, the winner was so the winner was Taylor Swift, and there were two awards that Twitter was upset that Kendrick Lamar didn't win. Mm-hmm. One was Music Video of the Year, and then the other was Album of the Year, which I think probably got more attention. I think less people were upset about the music video part, but most people thought he should have won Album of the Year, which also went to Taylor Swift, right?
For 1989, yeah. Which is interesting. Album of the Year is sort of a famous award in that it has famously gone to kind of head-scratching nominees. Like Steely Dan won one year. Last year, Beck won for that kind of soft acoustic album. Adam, do you remember the name of that album?
Morning Phase, maybe?
Yeah, that's
it. Even when it makes sense to some folks, it doesn't make sense to others. I remember both Arcade Fire, like it was like who is Arcade Fire became a trending topic, and then the same when Bon Iver won Best Album.
Yeah, even Beck got a Tumblr for Who Is Beck, which was
Who Is Beck?
But when Arcade Fire won, I was on board with that, like because that was right after The Suburbs came out, and I was a huge Arcade Fire fan.
You couldn't separate you from that album.
Oh yeah, yeah. I had the physical. I bought the CD at CD's Target. RS, yeah. So let's talk about Bad Blood because like I think it's no secret that we're not super big fans of this video for numerous reasons.
Not at this level, right? Like, we didn't love the video when it first came out. I think it's not – like, I think there are several Joseph Kahn Taylor Swift videos that are better than that one. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but it – just as a concept, like, I don't really get the concept. It's just an opening sequence, basically. And we kind of treaded this ground back when it came out. It just seems really surprising that it just keeps getting this level of recognition.
And I've thought a lot about this because this video has gone way, way farther than I think anybody of us anticipated. We kind of like panned it when it came out on this podcast, and it's. At the MTV VMAs, it won Video of the Year as well as Best Collaboration and was nominated for a large amount of awards, including Best Direction. And my theory is that this video does well with sort of committee votes like this because there is a Grammy committee and famously, it is made up of people who maybe, you know, are paying varying amounts of attention to what's going on. And I think they see a list like this and this stands out to them for a number of reasons. Not that there's any of the Grammy. I'm sure there are many people who have already seen all these videos on this list or at least seen All Right and Bad Blood and Freedom. And they look at this and they're like, oh, it's a massive star. It's a funny concept kind of, it's extremely high budget and people seem to be talking about it and it's got a lot of views. Like, no brainer. Let's get this.
And I think it's fooling you into thinking you're entertained,
right? Yeah,
because it's flashy and it's really accomplished in, you know, like in craft, and it's just high level filmmaking. Mm-hmm. So you're like, this is they're having fun. Look at how much fun they're having. This is fun, I think.
Right.
But like, I think it doesn't really hold water.
Yeah.
Did you guys see this link I just sent you? This is the other thing you don't get when you give this award to Kendrick Lamar. So this was hours before the Grammys were even on. At 2 p.m. on the day the Grammys were on, Taylor Swift like tweeted this video of her and Selena Gomez like artificially celebrating the because this doesn't seem genuine. Like, nobody celebrates like this as you like filming yourself. But like they were celebrating that they had won Grammy for Best Music Video and they are not okay. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you'd have got a tweet or a video like this at a Kendrick Lamar for if he would have won this award. I don't know.
Yeah, I was sort of following Twitter at the time that they announced that award and just, you know, kind of, you know, keeping up the feed of, you know, Best Music Video Grammys. And I would say 95% of the chatter was people, Taylor Swift fans. There was very little people, you know, very little amount of people advocating on social media, at least on Twitter, for anybody else to win. They would have absolutely gone completely nuts if Taylor Swift hadn't won. That's the other thing is that this thing is, I mean, Taylor Swift and Selena Gomez went to the Grammys together and, you know, were seen in countless photographs together. So, and Selena Gomez is in the video, so they can have that moment of celebrating together. And
I guess I get it. If for the same reason you give Taylor Swift any award, I guess, is because you want Taylor Swift to be around. I mean, she won dozens of awards at the VMAs, right? And so it almost like because to some level, I think the snubbing of Kendrick Lamar, or at least the perceived snubbing of Kendrick Lamar, is also additional publicity, right? Like, if Kendrick Lamar would have just won, I guess you're right. Taylor Swift's fans would have been upset. I guess it's win-win for the Grammys. People are just going to talk about it either way.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with 1989 as Album of the Year. I think this was one of the best Album of the Year crops that we've had in a decade.
It just barely made it in, though, right? Because the cutoff is October, and 1989 came out in October. So, like, it almost didn't make it for these Grammys, which would have been a weird thing.
I also am not super entertained by the Kendrick Lamar album. And I think it's a great album, and it's necessary. And the subject matter, it's great that is being talked about in pop music. But it's not like not like a super fun listen. And I think
it's not accessible. It's not that accessible.
I think not as an album. I think the Grammys is celebrating pop music and music that is like entertaining to a degree. And there's some entertaining
popularity thing, right? That can. Yeah.
But the music video thing is still a head scratcher because I think that's a lot more technical and a lot more. I think a music video is just it's a lot more it's just different the way you judge a music video than an album. I think the success of a music video is a little bit more narrow.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, like looking at these videos, the only other one that would conceivably merit the award would be "All Right" by Kendrick Lamar. I would say "Bad Blood" is better than the other. Nominees, probably.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a while since I've seen Freedom is a good video, but I just the whole crop. I mean, the crop of nominees is a little bit of a. But then again, the people that are choosing these and how this comes out, this is not a music video crowd,
right? No.
This is not people who are considering them the same way that fans of music videos do. So I think we're looking at this as sort of like, oh, well, the Grammys chose this, but in reality, these are music people choosing something that's visual and. I don't think a lot of them understand the film portion of that.
No, so, I think you're right.
Yeah. So you know, that's fine. The only issue that I have with that is that this is an extremely like visible award, even though it's in the you know the pre-show stuff.
Totally. People are gonna like. It's a this is just continuing to celebrate this video as one of the best, you know, of 2015 is what is being said by giving it this award. And, you know, I think people who are looking closer at music videos wouldn't rank it there.
Mm-hmm. So in terms of the other stuff that happened in the Grammys, this is not music video related, but I keep watching Adele's performance.
Oh, with the piano thing?
With the piano thing, because I watched it and I was like, what is that sound? It sounded like it was like bing 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 bing, and you can hear an engineer kind of on the boards trying to figure out what it is and what's going on, and it goes in and out. And then Adele tweeted shortly after the Grammys that a microphone had fallen on the piano and one of the piano strings, which then you watch it again and you're like, oh, everything makes sense because you can, it only comes into play when, if you're familiar with pianos, there's pedals on the bottom that, control the hammers, which dampen the strings to various degrees. So you can hit a note and then dampen them to cut the sound off. And so you can tell that you can only hear the bing, bling, bling, bling sound when he's riding those. When he's letting the notes linger, you can't hear it. Which is, I don't know, in terms of like these events always fascinate me from a logistics standpoint, because of how much planning and how much, you know, kind of professional knowledge has to go into making these things happen. And then when something like stupid, like a microphone falls and, you know, you get something that's like a 10-second fix if somebody just ran up there and you know, like repositioned it. But then it's this huge story. So,
and cause you don't, it's such a hard, that's just a hard thing to diagnose.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you have all these tools that can like diagnose the issues that are going on the inside, but something like a tangible issue like that with like some shit just fell. that's like you can't. A machine doesn't necessarily recognize that as easily.
And we had a show or a podcast since the Super Bowl. This week I watched Did I mention the Katy Perry Super Bowl documentary last episode? I'll put a link to it in the show notes. It's an hour-long documentary about the making of the 2015 Super Bowl, a halftime show with Katy Perry and Missy Elliott and Lenny Kravitz. And holy shit, just the whole logistics. They take you from the beginning to the end. If you're into any logistics stuff like that, you have to see this. It's amazing.
Yeah, where is this doc?
I found it on YouTube. I think it's like officially on like DirecTV or something. So you can't get it officially anywhere right now, like streaming. But there are like bootleg copies uploaded to YouTube.
Yeah. Put it in the show notes.
Because it's so good. And so speaking of logistics, we should talk about. We have some logistical stuff to talk about related to the Grammys and music videos. Because during the Grammys. I was unaware of this ahead of time, but you know, this video has subsequently come out. there was a Gwen Stefani music video directed by Sophie Muller, filmed live during one of the commercial breaks. Did you guys see this?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't see it when it was live, but I've seen that it happened, and I've seen the video.
So this is the video Make Me Like You, and it is essentially a Target commercial. So I watched this not knowing that it was live and it was a commercial. I just thought it was another music video, and then went to research it and then realized it was live. Did you guys come into this music video knowing that it was like a live production?
I did.
I just found out.
Yeah. Well, because it doesn't look like it, right?
It doesn't. It feels like it in terms of Gwen Stefani's performance, but they threw so much money at this where technically, I mean, that's the thing that makes this video special is that it, like, the production value, the set design, the fact that there's probably like 11 cameras because they keep cutting to different stuff that isn't just two, like it's clearly not just two cameras. So from that side of it, it is pretty seamless. But I still think Gwen Stefani's performance feels live.
So yeah, it does feel live. And it does have that like very kind of like, I was wondering at the end, because the ending shot is like the camera goes up and then it's this little like roller derby track that turns into a Target logo, and then you can hear people like cheering and screaming and stuff. I was like, well, that's kind of strange. I realized that it was the live thing. So it in terms of like a live performance, it's super 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 polished. I wasn't able to find like a behind. I feel like with these kind of things, they really should just like at the exact same time, or I guess shortly after, release a behind the scenes video because people want to know what the deal is. I wasn't able to find one of those.
And because we're going to talk about an OK Go video later on that's also a spectacle, and they have released several behind the scenes videos since.
So. Yeah, really fantastic, like really produced behind the scenes videos. So I liked this video a lot. I think that. One thing that I was trying to figure out that maybe you guys can answer for me is there are a lot of references to things in this video. And one of the things that they do, one of the kind of like the scenes that Gwen Stefani stumbles into is, the parked motorcycles with the twirling black and white, projections in the background. And this is a scene that I recognize from the Ariana Grande Problem video directed by the Young Astronauts. But I'm trying to figure out if that's like a reference to something else that or if they're referencing that video, you know?
I actually failed to pick up any actual specific references. But I also wasn't really looking for any. If any of that stuff it was put in there specific, it kind of washed past me.
Mm. Yeah, and I didn't catch any either, really.
I kept because I knew this was a live performance and all that stuff. Whenever I know something like that, I keep just like looking for fuck ups. Like I keep being like lighting on her face, shitty, shitty. Like they blew it. Like I can't see her face at all. And that was one thing I had a problem with this whole video. Actually, is I think everything is so polished and so like. Amazing. The set design is amazing. The Steadicam is great. The performances even the fact that it feels live, like Gwen Stefani's performance is great, but I feel like I can never really see her face except for like a few times where she's really in the light, and then by the end she's locked in on light. But for the most time, I feel like her face is always in the shadows. I don't know. I don't know if I'm being picky.
I mean, I didn't really notice her face being that hidden, but I think there are always trade offs, and maybe you don't get enough of the rush or energy that comes from live performance to trade off the technical markdowns that you would give it. Is that like kind of the trade off that you're disappointed with?
Say that again.
So you know, in a live video, you know, you would accept some like technical downfalls, like having inconsistent lighting on her face, for something that the live performance like provides in as a benefit.
Well, so here's why I'm bummed about it. I'm bummed about it because of, first of all, how great everything else is. Mm-hmm. But I also am bummed about it because I kept thinking, like, well, do I have this problem when I watch live performances on stages at award shows? And I don't feel like I do, because you could just put a spotlight on people or whatever. You know, you don't have to worry about lighting a whole like dozens of setups. Mm-hmm. So it's I understand the complication, and I guess I'm just I'm bummed about it that like a music video that is going to get so much attention and recognition, like, yeah, I can't see the lady's face.
Hmm. Well, we might have to agree to disagree on that, because I can see her face pretty well, but I can see how that, you know, when she moves through different sets, that she definitely like it is in dark for significant periods of time.
Yeah, I guess that's more what it is. I mean, I'm not saying they didn't light her, but just like, yeah, there is some significant moments of darkness in between, although there is still performance there. And if it's not a live video, you know, you're not going to have that stuff.
Right. But kudos to Sophie Muller and the team for trying something live on obviously a very highly rated event that's always, as we saw with the Adele stuff, that's always pretty nerve-wracking and all sorts of crazy stuff can go wrong. This seemed to, if there was any issue or any sort of technical complication with this video, I couldn't see it, and it seemed like a very complex production. So they must have gone through pretty significant rehearsals for this to be able to pull this off.
And a whole bunch of Target's money.
That's right. Yeah, well, Target got their money's worth, because it's one of those things where I hate when Target does, like, you can only buy the album at Target stores. Maybe that was valid, like, 10 years. I remember the Rolling Stones' 40 Licks album. You can only get at Target.
Yeah.
It's, like, ridiculous, like, one-off albums back when you would go in and buy an album. But the idea that a piece of music, especially in this day and age when, you know, we have Kanye West mixing an album on late into Friday night and then releasing it, you know, on Saturday night.
But he's still releasing. Yeah. He's still trying to release it with that same kind of exclusivity. He, you know, right now they're trying as hard as they can to make Tidal the only place you can buy that album.
Yeah.
And I think that's even more ridiculous, because it's the internet. Like, but at least before you had to go to a store, and like, so it's like, well, you can only go to this store, but like the internet is the internet. And so,
yeah, I just read today that it has like a record breaking amount of torrent downloads at this point on Pirate Bay. It's like breaking all the records.
So. Yeah, so we're referring to The Life of Pablo, which was released as a charitable word. The release of the album was a complete shit show, I think, from every perspective. I feel like someday there is going to be a chapter of a book written about the behind the scenes of everything that's gone on with Kanye West in the last 2 weeks. I'm really excited to read that. But yeah, right now the only place you can get it is to sign up for Tidal, which is Jay-Z and a number of other artists. Streaming music platform, but other, you know, Taylor Swift,
Kanye included.
Kanye included. He's big in Rihanna, I believe, as well.
Yeah.
And but, you know, there are artists, many of them involved with the Grammys and won awards, that don't have their music on certain streaming services. You cannot still get Adele's 25 album on Spotify. You famously cannot get 1989 album of the year on Spotify. So there is something to, you know, making, you know, false scarcity out of these different platforms. But this is an extreme form.
I think this is an extreme form. You can buy it, but you got to buy it from Tidal. And it's $20, which is also crazy. Because, like, most albums are, like, what, $8 or $9 on iTunes?
Yeah.
I guess it's – all right. So I don't want to give – I wouldn't – if it does. Is iTunes the only place you can buy Taylor Swift's album, though? That's not the case. I know that it's not on Spotify, but
it's on Google Play and basically all the other anywhere, really. Yeah, like Amazon,
she,
and
they're excluding Spotify specifically because right. they don't like Spotify's specific terms, which is...
Or streaming services, right? It's the streaming service right. issue.
I think it's different than being like, you've got to download this album from this website only.
Right.
It just frustrated me. I did a 30-day trial, but I'm going to cancel it after 30 days.
Same with me, yeah.
I was just hoping it all gets sorted out.
And Tidal, like... I find it to be an insanely frustrating, like, I would never voluntarily move from Spotify to Tidal, because they can't even, I can't even figure out how to play the goddamn tracks without double-clicking it. Like,
yeah,
Tidal doesn't support double-clicking. I always, if I double-click a track, it plays, like, the first split second and then restarts. It's just...
Yeah, because it thinks you paused it.
It's I know, just amazing, yeah.
I know, and it's, and I also didn't download the app, though. I'm just listening to it out of my browser until my month is up.
That's a smart way to do it. I mean, there's the same problem on the Mac app. So
yeah, right. No, either way, they were dumb both ways. It's not like It's not like Tidal is bad. From my experience of only listening to The Life of Pablo on it, I don't dislike it because of it. It's a different app, and I just don't like change. It seems to be in my use of it an inferior product.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. Yeah. Have you used Tidal, Adam?
No, I haven't. Do they have it in Canada? Yeah. That's a good question. I haven't tried to sign up. I almost did for Rihanna's album, but then I chose to buy it instead of signing up. So.
And with Rihanna's album, it was available on Spotify a week later.
A week later, right?
Week thing, yeah. But like right. for you know, you can go. I'm looking right now for $32. You can get both 25 by Adele and 1989. By Taylor Swift, which I'm just now realizing are both direct references to their age in terms of numbers, which is mm-hmm. strange.
It's a new thing to do.
Yeah, exactly. So you can get both of those albums, you know, as like it's like a frequently bought together thing on Amazon. Like you can get their issue is not with people being able to buy their shit. Their issue is with you know, the distribution platforms of Spotify. So
right.
and you know, Taylor Swift was actually pretty clever to not keep her album from RDO because RDO ended up going under anyway. She knew that the big issue was Spotify. So it does seem really, really strange. But then again, everything that Kanye West has done in the last like 2 weeks has been super interesting, but also incredibly bizarre. So
yeah. Bizarre like a fox.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that anymore.
I know that was my line for a while. And He keeps trying to prove me wrong.
Yeah, things are getting weird. But you can read about that on any of those other music,
any of the other places on the internet.
Blogs. What you get from us is music video commentary and
banter.
So I think we should talk about OK Go's music video next.
OK Go. Oh man!
Whoa, that's joke. That's joke number two.
Man, is my dad here? Did my dad? My dad.
Mr. Klinger, Mr. Klinger, your jokes are on fire tonight. So you guys have heard of this OK Go?
These OK Go guys.
If you want to, this is episode 184, I believe. If you want to go back to listen to episode 2 of this podcast, mm-hmm. we had two people from Syn Labs on to talk about a previous OK Go video, the This Too Shall Pass Rube Goldberg OK Go video.
We also had Tim Nakashi on, and he talked about his OK Go video for a stretch.
That's right, yeah. Which one was his, the one that he directed?
I don't remember the name of the song, but it's the one where it's like the repeating, like they are waving things across the screen, and it kind of is...
WTF? Question mark.
Yes. Yeah.
And that is an outlier because most of them are directed by Damien Kulosh Jr., who's the singer of the band, and Trish C., I believe.
Which is his sister.
His sister, yeah. And obviously these videos just keep getting more and more intense in terms of logistics, and they're typically kind of one-shot videos that are feats of organization.
That's a great way to describe it. Feats of organization.
That's good.
I keep forgetting and keep being reminded that my alma mater, Notre Dame's marching band, is in an OK Go video.
Yeah, it's also for This Too Shall Pass, but it's the first version.
Yeah, it's technically a live version, I think.
So, or, oh, you mean they're playing the music in video? They're
music live, yeah.
Yeah, because we just talked about a different kind of live video.
Yeah, it was not live broadcast. It was broadcast to the media space around them. So this one is called Upside Down. Yes, Upside Down Inside Out.
Right.
And...
So you remember from the chorus?
That's right. And so this takes place on an airplane. You've heard of, like, so whenever you see, like, you guys have seen Apollo 13, right?
Yeah.
With the good old Tom Hanks and Ed Harris. And back in those days, in the 90s, the way they filmed, you know, astronauts in space is they used what's called an airplane that did a parabolic arc, which basically granted them, you know, maybe like 30 seconds or so of weightlessness. And this is what OK Go did for this video.
I think we should mention that S7 Airlines, because they went through a lot of effort to make sure we know that S7 Airlines is heavily involved in the production of this video.
That's right, yeah. They filmed this in Russia. They went to, like, outside of Moscow to Star City, which was interesting to film this. And if you look at the rehearsals for this, the S7 logo is much more prominent, and they've kind of, like, muted it a little bit in the final video. But what you get is this basically takes place in an airplane, and is almost all OK Go weightlessness and what you would expect, like a choreographed dance.
Some of it is weightlessness. Other times it just feels like shit's falling backwards.
Well, like, that's what, yeah. And so in the behind the scenes thing, they explained that the logistics of it was that the plane could go up for 27 seconds and do a parabolic arc where you got, you know, varying degrees of intensity of weightlessness during that arc. And then 4 to 5 minutes of just, this is the part that just blows my mind.
4 to 5 minutes. So it's the 27, I didn't watch the behind the scenes, I saw some of it, but so 27 seconds is actually weightlessness, and that's when the, like, stewardess are, like, spinning around and shit.
Right.
Right? And then the rest is shit just falling back.
Well, so this is what happened. So basically the airplane goes up into the parabolic arc, 27 seconds of weightlessness, then it comes down, regains stability, and then has to fly for 4 to 5 minutes to regain the ability to fly up into the parabolic arc. So what they so basically it looks like one continuous shot, but basically they're cutting out all the sections. Whenever you see things fall to the ground again, that's when they cut. And then they just stood still for those 5 minutes and then started up the song again when the plane went up.
It's so funny that they went through all of this, like, effort to, like, all of this, everything you see is real. We didn't use any effects or anything like that, but they do hide cuts.
Yeah. They hide cuts, I think, better than I've seen anybody hide a cut. I've watched it several times, and it's funny, in the behind-the-scenes video, they actually show you, they're like, here are the cuts, and I still can't pick them out. It's really incredible.
Yeah. What a bummer, actually.
Why is that a bummer? That's just a technical limitation of.
No, I understand that. I understand that. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like if you're the filmmaker here, or like if you want to achieve this, when they had this idea,
mm-hmm.
I feel like they were bummed out by the idea that they have that you actually are flying in your music video. Mm-hmm. You still got to hide cuts.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, it's just like we've gotten to a world where I can fly in my fucking music video, but I still got to fucking, you know, cut stuff. It's just weird.
And if you watch some of, it's been a long time since I've seen like the behind the scenes of like Apollo 13 and all that, but they ran into the same limitations there where they had weightlessness for very brief periods of time. So the other thing is that they chopped up the song into these 27 segments. Okay, hold on.
27 segments.
But in reality, the actual segments that they needed to kind of like cut the beats on or like kind of like have different shifts in tone were 21 seconds. So they slowed down the song. So what you're actually seeing is things in slower motion or sorry, in faster motion. So they kind of like it has this really uncanny like look to it because you kind of know what people in a weightlessness airplane look like in terms of floating around, and these are sped up, so it looks like, you know, like more realistic motion in a way, because you know when those girls are twisting around, they're twisting, you know, significantly slower than they actually are in the video.
Mm-hmm.
So as the video goes on, I think I kept thinking like, this is one of those videos where I was really interested in what was going to happen next, and I couldn't believe when they brought out the balloons full of whatever goo was in that and just, like, trashed this fucking plane. I thought that was really neat.
I had to throw my cat out of the room for a second. But I also fucking love the paint and the balloons.
Yeah.
That shit was sick. There was a handful of moments, two or three really moments that just kind of blow my mind. One is when the stewardess are spinning around in the middle.
So good, yeah.
And then the paint is definitely another one that they just trashed that plane. Do they just do this in one take?
This is one take, yeah.
Wow.
And so,
yeah, how many times can you fucking trash a plane like that and be like, okay, set up again. Like, let's fly again.
And the funny thing is that one take, you know, because of the plane having to stabilize, took 40 minutes. So what you're seeing is 40 minutes front to back, but it is front to back, which is, I think, is pretty incredible. That moment, because this is also a great song. I think OK Go doesn't get enough credit for, like, how well these songs sync up with these music videos. But yeah, that moment of the stewardesses, the dancers twisting in that circle is really, really good.
Yeah, yeah. It is basically magic, but actually it's not. It's physics. But, like, it is pretty unbelievable. I don't know if... I mean, the song, I guess the song is fine. I'm not a OK Go fan as in terms of their music. Like, I would never listen to their music outside of this context.
We're going to need to disagree again, Doug.
Man, again. Adam, no.
Adam, you're a tiebreaker. Do you, like, listen to OK Go outside of the music videos, yes or no?
I do.
Wow, yeah. Both of you guys do?
Yeah.
Both of you guys have OK Go on your Spotify?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I mean, everything's on Spotify, but I do listen to OK Go.
No, I mean on your saved playlist. Don't be...
No.
Don't be... But also, everything's not on fucking Spotify. We just talked about how Taylor Swift and Adele aren't on there.
That's true.
It's smart, Alec. So
what I think is remarkable, though, is, these are the kind of videos that OK Go, historically tries to make. Like, they're kind of, ever since the very first, the one on the treadmills for Get Over It, that they've been trying to kind of recreate the buzz that video got with, like, these sort of these clever little concepts. And when an OK Go video comes out, always before watching it, I always have, like, this sort of moment of, do I want to watch it? Like, is it really going to, like, you know, live up to the thing that they do? And it was really kind of remarkable for me how good this one was. This one really stands out. And, like, it made me wonder, like, maybe this is the end. Maybe now they've reached it. They're obviously probably going to try to do some more. But can they do something cooler than this? I'm not sure. Maybe they've outdone themselves with this one.
I think so. They're super, super consistent, like, in that they still manage to wow you, again and again. But there are a few that become way less memorable, and that don't really stick so hard with you. I still think the last one that I think is going to stick as long as this one is still the Rube Goldberg. Has there really been, like, one that's super, super significant between that one and this one?
No, probably not. The other one I really liked was the kneading getting in the car, whether how fabricated or how real that one actually is. I did like that one quite a bit as well.
I have to say that the writing's on the wall, I think, is as memorable. It's sort of the same tone in terms of,
like, is the writing on the wall the one where they
perspective one?
Yeah, okay, you're right. That is one. But there was one they did with those weird ball things a year or two ago. I Won't Let
You Down. Yeah,
yeah. I Won't Let You Down is a little bit of a not so memorable one.
That one that one stands up as, like, an experience watching it, but then I think it doesn't have the things that stick in your head. So I would agree with that. Yeah. But
they're all
a fantastic video. So,
oh, totally. Totally. I wonder if they does Damien Coolidge do, direct other shit? Like, because this stuff is really inventive, and obviously he's got a great business sense, because the last you know dozen OK Go music videos have had heavy product placement that isn't like invasive, but like the one with those ball things, that was a commercial for those balls. This is obviously commercial for S7 Airlines. You know, they're hawking shit.
Oh yeah, but
in the most entertaining way possible. And so
meeting like, and getting was a very thinly veiled.
Car commercial.
Yeah, right. Not even thinly veiled. I mean, it was played during the Super Bowl, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, which is really smart, I think. You got to do something. And, you know, it's no less invasive than headphones and, you know, Beats headphones or you know, e-cigarettes in music videos. So, you know, but I just because wasn't there a thing where they were like, yeah, we were pitching this idea to this company and then we did it and then they did it too. Do you remember that with them saying that they pitched an idea to a company and then the company basically just ripped them off?
Doesn't sound implausible, but I do not remember that. No,
it was. I think it was the Force Perspective video. Okay, go. Oh,
you know what? I feel like that is ringing a bell. Yeah.
Oh, Apple. Yeah. Did Apple?
That's right. Yeah, I remember seeing that live during Apple's presentation. Yeah.
Yeah. Did Apple just rip off OK Go's music video Mashable from September 2014? So, so they're clearly like pitching this stuff to companies and stuff. Is it just like they pitch to a company and they're like, "Yeah, we got this song." Like, is it just does it just all become one thing, and that's what they do?
You got me. I have to believe that that this is a significant source of income for them, though. I feel like, you know, along with those assets that they're protecting, I feel like they're probably more savvy now about protecting their ideas. I have to believe that this idea had a pretty tight lid on it before it was actually released. I think they kind of learned their lesson with the Facebook stuff. Because yeah. I did not see anything about this leak out whatsoever. Unless no. I looked at all their Instagrams and stuff and couldn't really see anything before this came out. And they spent
who else is going to rip this off? The other one company that'll let you fly?
Yeah, yeah. I guess if I ever get the chance to fly S7 Airlines, I guess I'll take it. Maybe.
I mean, is it a real airline? Like, the S7 Airlines a real airline? I thought it was just an airline that'll let you fly in the air like this.
That's a really good question.
It says travel leisure, and, like, I don't know.
Let's see here. They have a Wikipedia article.
Yeah, check it out.
No, as of 2008, it was Russia's biggest domestic airline. So I guess it's a Russian airline.
Weird.
Yeah. The Ruskies wanted to give some cash, so why not?
There you go.
It's funny. Their fleet is 58 airplanes, and they're one of the biggest domestic airlines in Russia. How many?
Is there a lot of leisure travel in Russia? I don't really know.
I don't know. I feel like Delta has got to have, like, yeah, how big is Delta's fleet? Delta's fleet is 722 planes.
Yeah, but how many airlines are going to Russia? I feel like that's not very common, right?
I suppose so. Yeah, and if it's domestic, I feel like most people are flying like in and out of Europe to Moscow and
St. Petersburg. Yeah, right.
We're speculating and stuff that I have no clue
at all about. Right, but I'm on board, buddy. Whatever you say.
So we also had another big deal music video come out because it was another Hero Murai video. And this one is for Bauer, and it is the song is called Day Ones. And guys, I have a connection to the Grammys because we're going to kind of connect all this shit to the Grammys in some way.
Oh, shit.
So at the Grammys, during one of the performances, they went live to the Richard Rodgers Theater, I believe it's called, in Manhattan. And we saw the opening number of the Hamilton musical. So Hamilton kind of mixes the new, you know, the old, you know, everybody's in like, 18th century costumes and stuff like that, and it also mixes, you know, contemporary musical styles like rap, although most of it's in like a traditional, albeit contemporary, musical theater style. And this music video kind of picks up similar themes. It takes place in a modern parking lot at night, as any good Hero Murai music video should, take place at. And features like basically a Revolutionary War battle in the middle of this like modern parking lot at night.
I thought it was fantastic. Hiro, I think when he tweeted it or something, he said, they let us make this. And it just seems like such an unexpected music video for a rap song, despite the fact that Hamilton is it seems to have some similar themes to Hamilton. I did not know what Hamilton was about. I knew it was popular, but I didn't care to know anything else about it. No, but now I do, and so now I guess it makes it seem more culturally relevant than I realized.
Was your first introduction to the content of Hamilton me explaining it on this podcast?
Yeah.
Really? Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. I highly recommend it. Even if you're not really into musical theater, which I am not really. I've been listening, that soundtrack has been basically the main thing I've listened to for the past 2 weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
Not The Life of Pablo.
Not really. I'm not digging The Life of Pablo that much.
Whoa.
Except for Ultralight Beam, which should be, I would pay more for Spotify just to have Ultralight Beam.
Well, agree to disagree on Life of Pablo. There's the third thing that did that. Since Kanye West performed on Kanye West performed on SNL and SNL sketches follow the rule of three.
They do.
So we did the podcast.
Well, we've hit our three, so we'll agree forever about everything from here on out.
Yeah, that's it. All agreements. Well, unless we're referencing one of the other disagreements.
Yeah, of course. That goes without saying. So this music video also premiered on Apple Music and is still on Apple Music.
And the engagement is incredibly low on Apple Music.
It is a crime that how low the engagement is.
If Hiro Murai uploaded this video to his Vimeo account and did titled it like Untitled Rough Cut and didn't pick a thumbnail, it would have significantly more loves and comments and shares than it does here on this here Apple Music player. What is up with that?
There's like two comments. It is just, and obviously, like, that is no reflection on the video at all. This is such an amazing music video. No. Why would you cage this in Apple Music?
let's make this great Hiro Murai music video and then just throw it on the street. That's it. It's just like not even, like, let's not even put it out.
When did this come out?
17-2. It says it's got the for some reason it has the I have a Great Britain link, that's why it has the British version of the date.
Because I didn't even know, like, this is not only caged, but like I did not even see a tweet about this. Nothing.
17-2.
Hiro tweeted about it.
Hiro tweeted it. Doomsday tweeted it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's, I missed this one. I thought it was supposed to be on Bauer's website.
The blogs don't have it, I don't think, because it's not.
If you can go to Bauer.com and see it, but that obviously isn't going to drive any engagement to the Apple Music page.
I saw it on Spin. Spin had the Apple Music embed. Although like the bottom, like 30 pixels were cut off for some reason.
Great. Bauer released his last music video through Apple Music exclusively for Go Go, which is a great music video. And it's, again, I don't think anybody's really seen it because it's fucking on Apple Music only. What is happening? Why would I? I don't get it. Oh, you know what? We all have Tidal now. We should all fucking watch that Nicki Minaj Beyonce music video that we never got to see with the French fries.
Oh yeah, I'm excited for that. The one thing that is interesting is that they did put like some pretty deep credits on this, just in the text field. But they have Larkin Siepel's name for it and. The Steadicam ops name and a few, art director's name, which is, but it's like above the video, which is interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. That is unique, but nobody's going to this page.
Yeah.
Literally nobody even knows how to.
This would have I feel like around a million views by now if it was on YouTube. A lot more than 47 loves.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So I think, yeah, Apple Music does, first of all, Apple Music needs to apologize for Drake for robbing him of having a number one single with Hotline Bling, and they need to apologize to Kira Murai for burying this video in this awfully designed page with it, where, you know, I have a external monitor that's, I think, 23 inches or something like that. I have it across the entire page, and the Apple Music embed, when you expand the entire page as large as you can really make it, is maybe through, you know, 500 pixels across at the most.
Right.
It's,
yeah. So you got to watch, you have to watch it full screen.
Oh yeah.
Which,
yeah.
Who wants to do that?
Full screen.
Not me.
So excellent music video. I love the, in this
chandeliers.
Case, the chandelier is amazing. And in this case, I feel like the darkness adds an element of kind of, you know, these are obviously like kind of Revolutionary War reenactors, I am assuming. And if you've ever seen like footage of Revolutionary War actors in like the daylight, it looks kind of goofy. So I think Hiro very, very wisely hid this under a blanket of darkness, and it just adds such an eerie quality to it, but it just looks, adds an incredible amount of realism to it, because hides all the things that if it was in plain, you know, light, you'd be like, oh, well, that does look, you know, it's just obviously a bunch of dudes dressed up like Revolutionary War people.
Right, right. It does work. Yeah, that's interesting. Well. Yeah. It does interesting. Yeah, it's great. But yeah, if they just did this in like a field in Connecticut, it might be problematic.
There are many lesser music videos that have tried concepts similar to this in the daytime, with the best of intentions, and it has not worked out. So yeah. Hiro, and that's. I mean, that's part of what makes him an amazing director, is making decisions like that. I'm sure, you know, various people from the Doomsday Squad also made these decisions. I noticed in the producer credit on Apple Music, Jason's old last name is used.
Yeah, we're the only one giving him the love that he deserves.
Yeah, yeah. People.
I think maybe when this video was produced, he was still doing the.
True.
It kind of has some energy, too, that maybe Hiro hasn't tapped into before. It's a little bit more, obviously, they're firing off their guns and stuff. So, and the song is high energy, but it has the style and sort of the night setting that lots of his videos do. But there's an energy here that feels a little bit new for him.
I think it's a pretty good observation. I actually would agree with that.
Yeah.
Except unless you're talking the energy goes up in the Sober video.
Yeah, it's true. It does. I mean, it still has kind of like a dream or a nightmare quality to it that's really consistent in all his work. But it just seemed less, I don't know, less.
Well, the cuts are quicker.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Exactly. I feel like there's something new here.
Yeah, this is cut significantly quicker. It's also more viscerally violent than I feel like we get. A lot of Hiro music videos. I mean, there are some like some blood spatterings in this.
Yeah, the Hiro videos are a lot more like implied violence or kind of like around violence in the company of.
Right. So, yeah, fantastic. Hopefully we'll get Apple Music support on the site soon so we can get that in there and you can watch it right there. Working on that right now.
Yeah, but put it on a different goddamn website too while you're fucking at it. We'll do our part. We'll do our part, but yeah. Come on.
Oh, we forgot to mention that the OK Go video premiered on Facebook.
Yeah, great.
And they also have a view count now.
Yeah, Facebook does, and it's pretty massive, the views.
Yeah, this is it.
Because Facebook is like, Facebook's doubling down on video, and
yeah,
you know, they're claiming massive view count numbers because, you know, Facebook will count a view as 3 seconds, and they autoplay videos. So basically, if you just like don't scroll fast enough, you've watched like a dozen videos every time you log onto Facebook.
And they have a new way of viewing the videos too, which is interesting. You used to basically view them the same way you viewed pictures, kind of on their own page with the comments underneath. And now, if you click on, you know, a thumbnail in the OK Go video section, you get like kind of like a what they call a light box, which with a, you know, where the entire page gets darkened out, and the video kind of plays on top of that layer, which is for a major video player something to pay attention to. in terms of video UI. Because basically, you know, there hasn't been too many adventures in video user experience in the last few years. Basically, we've had, you know, YouTube's experience and all the major players like Vimeo, of course, and Dailymotion and such, you know, all follow a relatively similar pattern. So Facebook does something a little bit different.
Yeah, see how that goes.
We'll see. I mean, 47 million views. Like you said, probably inflated a little bit, but that's still pretty good.
These views, I feel like, are a little bit more genuine, closer than the like meme-y shit that really takes off on Facebook of like random cooking videos and shit that, you know, my old friends from high school's mom post on Facebook and I look at.
Yeah, who doesn't love good cooking video? Well, you guys, I think our time has come to an end.
We did it.
We absolutely did. I feel like there's a big pat on the back. We found, you know, like in video games where they say there's three hidden coins, we found the three hidden Doug and Adam disagreements. And going forward, I think we need to find three of those in every episode.
So I look forward to it.
If you want more of these, you got to go on imvdb.com/podcast. This is episode 184. Getting close to episode 200, you guys.
Nick, we're zeroing in on it.
We're going to hit it in 2016. That's very exciting.
I'm excited about it.
Follow us on Twitter. I fixed Doug's Twitter handle on the Facebook podcast page. Thanks, Doug, for pointing that out.
Thanks, GitHub.
And we'll see you guys next week.